I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, thereabouts, 3:20, we have another keyword. Your shot at $1,000 is still going on here on KFI, Inflation Compensation Contest. So be standing by for the keyword in about 15 minutes from now. Sounds like we already have our guest on the air. Who did that? I haven't really mentioned what it is yet we're talking about. Okay, well, we are going to talk now about a website that came to our attention last week in an article in the California Globe about the fentanyl crisis in the state of California. Fentanylsolution.org was mentioned in here. The president and CEO is Janice Celeste. And they're looking at possible ballot measures to deal with this crisis because maybe the legislature is not doing anything deal with this.
The Senate Public Safety Committee refuses to consider any new law that would go after fentanyl pushers, the guys who kill your teenagers. They don't want to do anything about it. Just let these fentanyl pushers keep selling their product and killing your kids, and that's the way it goes. Let's get him on here.
Okay, I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hey. Yes, we heard
you. I heard you breathing heavy.
Oh, so sorry.
That's okay.
That's okay. Somebody put you on a little early.
Janice Celeste is here, the president and CEO of fentanylsolution.org. Janice, thanks for coming on. What's this idea? What's this referendum about?
Well, you know, we work with a lot of parents who have lost their children, adult children and children under 18. And what we want to do is see them get justice. And you're absolutely right. In Sacramento, the Public Safety Committee is not letting any bills, even the most generous bills where you just get an admonition, like a warning if you get caught with fentanyl. If you kill someone, the next time you're pushing, you'll go to jail for murder. So the first time they get away with just selling and having the drugs on them. But the second time, if you kill someone, and it's no excuse that you did not know there's fentanyl in these pills. So that bill can't even get through. This week is going to be a really interesting week, though, because they are revisiting tomorrow and Thursday some of these bills. And we'll see if maybe the public pressure on the Public Safety Committee will get them to change their minds. But we're taking it to the people. If they do not do their jobs, we're taking it to the ballot.
We followed that story you're talking about, Janice, and it was actually a majority of state senators were supporting a bill. It was sort of a bipartisan bill, but this Public Safety Committee just bottled it up.
Right. That was SB 44. It's a bipartisan bill. If it was taken to the floor of the Senate, it would have passed by now. It would have passed. They had 21 people agree on both sides of the table that this is necessary. But the Public Safety Committee won't let it get past committee.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm suspicious because the Democratic leadership intentionally puts those characters on the Public Safety Committee. So it's a little suspicious to me that so many Democrats support tougher laws. But look at the bad luck. We've got the five people who don't want any anti-fentanyl legislation. They just happened to be on the committee. Boy, oh boy, how did that happen?
Right, you're right.
You know, and I'm really cynical about it. I think they put those people on purpose, and everybody else says, oh, no, I'm for it. I mean, it's the committee that's against it, but I'm for it. But they know the committee's never going to force them to vote on it.
Well, hopefully our ballot measure, that now they know it's coming. Hopefully that will give them some pressure from the public to do something, because the public's going to want this in the majority. And, of course, you're going to have some people that are going to be against it. But for the majority, it makes sense. If someone kills someone, they should go to jail.
What specifically is in your proposition?
Well, this is the thing. We have to do a poll first, and that's what we initiated. We already started the poll. Mm-hmm. We have the questions. Our board will approve it on May 2nd, and then the poll will go out to 800 Californians. And the poll will write the legislation. And the purpose is to get stronger laws, longer penalties for drug dealers who kill with fentanyl. So it will be written accordingly to the poll, but that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, because what we heard from the Public Safety Committee, Janice, was that, oh, well, the war on drugs doesn't work, and putting people in prison just because they may not know that they're dealing a drug with fentanyl in it, because sometimes they're just the middleman. We heard all these excuses.
Yeah, well, let me address that. First of all, the world has changed dramatically since the war on drugs. Just the internet all by itself made this a whole different monster. I have a paper that's coming out that says exactly that. This is not the war on drugs, the fentanyl crisis. And in addition to that, you just can't use that as an excuse anymore.
I don't care if they know whether the fentanyl was in a specific pill or not. We know it's very prevalent. And we know it's very prevalent. So if you're going around selling illegal pills to kids, you should be, everybody, you know what? I would pass a resolution that says, here's the official warning to all drug pushers. There's fentanyl in a lot of pills. Now you know. Okay, you've been notified as of this moment.
And here's the thing. No one knows their industry better than they do. They can tell us about their industry. So for them to use that as an excuse is no excuse. No. It's hard maybe to approve in court, but it shouldn't have to be proven at this point they poisoned someone. We didn't have these kind of numbers with the war on drugs. We didn't have overdoses happen like that. You still have crack users around from the war on drugs. We're not going to have any of these people around. None of the teens who are experimenting for the first time. So many have died with the first pill. The DEA has a whole slogan called "One Pill Can Kill," because it does.
It's heartbreaking about it. It just seems to me, my opinion, looking at the kids who get caught up in this, that most of them are pretty decent, right? They're not troublemakers, but kids get curious. They're horribly influenced by social media, and they see somebody offering a cheap high on social media, so they try out a pill to see if it's fun, right? They probably heard their friends doing it, and then they take the deadly one, and then that's it. I don't know how anybody could be against stopping that.
Well, let me give you a little more detail about that. So your kid gets on a social media platform. Usually Snapchat has been named as the biggest social media platform that has been guilty of not doing much of anything to protect children to get the drug. So they'll get involved with a drug dealer. Then the drug dealer will follow them and groom them until they buy a pill. Then they'll use Venmo or Cash App or a parent's credit card, get the pill. Guess how it gets to your house? Through Uber Eats, Grubhub, those delivery services that usually deliver food. They don't know they're delivering it. They just know if they're taking a package from point A to point B, they don't know what's in it. They don't. And your child can have a deadly, lethal drug in their hand in under an hour.
Right. Wow. It's pretty easy. I just love how the executives that run Snapchat and all the rest of them, they just have absolutely no conscience. They don't care how their system is being used and abused. Doesn't matter to them.
No, they claim that the child has privacy rights.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The right to die.
Yeah.
The right to take a bad pill and die. Well,
and they have the nerve. They have the nerve to be sponsoring the fentanyl awareness campaign that's coming for Fentanyl Awareness Day on the 10th, but not doing much of anything.
Snapchat is sponsoring the awareness campaign.
Isn't that nice?
Uh huh. Well, they're psycho. Everything is manipulative and cynical, and they just, everything's about fooling people. Everything exactly. is about public relations.
All right, Janice, well, keep us posted as you move towards the ballot measures, especially what you find out with your polling. And we'd love to talk to you again. This is Janice Celeste, president and CEO of fentanylsolution.org. You can go there, fentanylsolution.org, to find out a lot more about what they're doing to affect some sort of approach to the fentanyl crisis, especially here in California with the overdoses. There's some good charts there to show you just how much overdose deaths by fentanyl have grown in the state, and the public, the safety committee and the state legislature doesn't want to do anything about this. They just put up a roadblock. Although we will be following the hearings that are coming up this week, dealing with a number of bills that they've agreed to hear in a special hearing. John and Ken, next is your chance for some money with a keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Listen to this. We already have a candidate for governor. The 2026 race. Because Newsom's done after two terms. I'm not kidding you. It happened today. The lieutenant governor, Eleni Koulakas, announced she's already running for governor 2026. 3.5 years early.
Boy, her name recognition's got to be close to zero.
Very much. I think she had a lot of money and kind of spent a lot of money and become lieutenant governor, as I recall.
Yeah, I really
not sure
don't.
She had any elective office, but not that that matters to me. But
I don't know anything about her.
I don't either. But I think she's in the progressive mode.
As well. Oh, probably.
I read a few things about her.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She's a Democrat.
They all are.
Speaking of dippity-doo, we played for you some audio last week. You showed up in San Francisco's Tenderloin neighborhood for a big media opportunity to talk about the fentanyl drug problem. And then when he was asked, remember that guy asked him, and his response was, "What do you think I should do?" That was Newsom's response about how to deal with the drug crisis.
Yeah, snarky, combative.
Later on, he said basically, just more Narcan. All right, we'll just try to revive people from their overdoses. Now we hear he is calling in the National Guard and the California Highway Patrol. Put out a press release. The state's Highway Patrol will assist the San Francisco Police Department with technical assistance, training, and drug trafficking enforcement within key areas of the city, including the Tenderloin. The California National Guard will dedicate personnel and resources towards dismantling fentanyl distribution rings. You think this is just for show, right? You said it was just a...
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe any of this. Or that it's just, it's not going to be effective. See, the National Guard is magic words.
People feel like, all right, now they know it's a crisis.
He's getting tough. How many times have we sent the National Guard to the border? Has it mattered? No.
No. We were told they would just sit there at the desk jobs while the Border Patrol agents could go out in the field, but that was always a scam, we were told.
I don't take anything he says with any seriously, with any credibility, because he's had so many of these fake announcements that sound tough, look good in the headline, but he doesn't follow through on them, or they're ineffective. No. Or he never meant them. He never meant them to begin with. I think that's number one. First thing I think is, wow, that sounds really cool, but you don't mean that. You don't really care. I mean, this fentanyl thing has been raging for quite a while. So he just woke up this weekend and said, I know, we'll get the National Guard in. I mean,
all we know is that exactly what you said. It gets people's attention. It makes it look like he's doing something. The CHP commissioner said, we'll be allocating additional resources for high visibility traffic enforcement within the city of San Francisco.
If he was a real credible politician, the origin point of fentanyl is China shipping it to Mexico and then Mexico manufacturing the fentanyl, turning the raw product into something that they can sell as pills. That's almost 100% of the fentanyl, China to Mexico. Distribution from China, manufacturing in Mexico, and then delivery here to the United States. So since this little weasel wants to be a big boy president, then why don't you say, Here's why I want to run for president. Joe Biden is a complete failure. He's allowing billions and billions of dollars and billions of fentanyl pills to come over the border. That's an atrocity. That's disgusting. I don't care what party it is. This is killing 70,000 Americans a year, 100,000 Americans a year. It's killing thousands of our children. That's one of the reasons I'm running for president, because the guy in there now is an incompetent boob.
Yeah.
That's what you do as a presidential candidate. So that's why I don't believe him. He, you know, you want to send, how many CHP officers is he going to send, all right? Those guys have to make money giving out bogus tickets on the freeways. So how many can he spare? And these guys do drive up and down giving tickets most of the time. That's their main job. So what do they know about underground fentanyl distribution networks? What are they going to do?
It says they're going to be looking for drug-impaired drivers and looking for possible drug traffickers driving around.
What?
Yeah. Well, they profile. But you're not supposed to do that anymore.
And what's the National Guard guys going to do? They're not trained in this. Now, the drug enforcement agents are trained in this. I mean, if you're going to go to war, you need the National Guard. But this doesn't sound like a war. I don't know what this is. I don't know exactly what. I mean, you're gonna provide extra men so the San Francisco police can go on drug busts? I mean, why doesn't
supposedly the National Guard is going to try to dismantle fentanyl distribution rings?
How?
Abroad too.
They're not.
I don't know. Undercover operations? I have no idea.
They're not all powerful magicians. I mean, they're trained in military tactics. They're there as a reserve unit in case we need extra men in a war. They're also trained in disaster situations, right? Rioting, or maybe if you have unrest after an earthquake, right, or a tornado, and there's like general chaos going on, or you can do desk work at the border. I mean, I just don't.
Typical Newsom fashion, when he announced this on Friday, two truths can coexist at the same time. San Francisco's violent crime rate is below comparably sized cities like Jacksonville and Fort Worth, and there is more we can do to address public safety concerns, especially the fentanyl crisis.
Violent crime rate. Of course, everything that's not considered violent is at extreme highs.
I know. They're still doing a victory lap because the guy that stabbed Bob Lee apparently is somebody that knew him and not some dangerous fentanyl drug addicted person on the streets.
I can't believe the amount of propaganda that left-wing journalists are engaging in.
Oh, they love
over
that
the Bob Lee thing.
Yes, they do.
I cannot believe it. They are such sick dogs, the whole lot of them. Every one of these journalists, every one of the politicians.
That's their shut-up story. Oh, you say you were wrong. Oh, now shut up and don't bring this up again.
Well, that's the thing. It's not going to shut anybody up because San Francisco is a hellhole for another day and another week. Or another 2 weeks since this happened. So it's still a hellhole.
Yeah. What's today's story? The Target is locking up everything in one San Francisco
right,
store.
Right, exactly. There's quality of life for you. You can't go to Target.
Not what people say. It's what people do.
Yeah. Right? Why is Target doing that? Because everything in their store is at risk. There are so many shoplifters and so many products getting stolen that they have to lock down. They've got thousands and thousands of items in there, and every one of them has to be in a glass case. What, you miserable little rodent.
All right, we got more. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Radio being removed from new cars and trucks.
Oh, no.
Now, think if you're in a natural disaster. A text alert on your phone is not a substitute for what broadcast radio provides in the times of need. You know, we read this on Friday. I got into a debate with a couple of listeners because they have Teslas. And well, I have KFI because I have the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, but what if everything goes down, right? Good old AM radio just travels to your car.
Oh, if the internet goes down, then you're screwed. You have to have an AM radio. And by the way, very few people have Teslas. So get over your elitist crowing here, all right?
Well, it's because I brought up the fact that that's one electric vehicle that does not have AM radio, so they took it personally since they have one. That's all I meant. But you're right. A lot of people don't. A one-line text alert cannot take the place of a voice on the radio talking to you 24-7 until the emergency passes, and that's assuming the cell networks are even up and running, which often they are not.
So well, yeah, during occur, a natural you're... disaster, that's right. The cell phone lines, the cell phone towers will go down.
When emergencies occur, your local broadcast radio station is there providing wall-to-wall coverage, life-saving information, and a live connection to the crisis. And then radio stays in the aftermath. So you need to make your voice heard on this issue. You text the letters AM to this number, 52886, and tell Congress to keep AM radio in all cars and trucks. Standard message and data rates apply. That's AM to 52886. Well, this story comes up every now and then. And when it does, and when we see it, we love to talk about it. There's many reasons why couples do and do not have children, right? Maybe it's financial. Maybe one of them is mentally ill. Doesn't want to pass that along.
The parts just don't work.
They don't think they'd be a good parent. Maybe they want to have more time to themselves for a longer time than, but this column, which pops up in publications such as the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post, don't want to have a baby because of climate fears, you're not alone. So again, it's a story of young couples who fret over the future of the planet and may decide not to reproduce.
Good.
Because they may not be a planet.
You know what?
Doom-filled minds.
You know what? All these genetic lines ought to die out then.
Well, that's a good point.
All right? Because now they won't raise annoying little woke babies who become annoying woke toddlers, and then they're screeching in college one day that their sensitivities have been violated. We don't need any more of those people. So stop reproducing. If you're so terrified of the planet that you can't even get an erection anymore to reproduce, then you're better off your genetic line dies.
Peggy O'Donnell Heffington is her name, who wrote this for the Washington Post, a professor in history at the University of Chicago. And I emphasize professor of history because she, first of all, she mentions a survey. 10,000 people between the ages of 16 and 25, 60% felt very or extremely worried about climate change. Now, two things about that. First of all, young people don't really have a lifelong experience or perspective yet to judge things accurately, is the way I would put it.
They don't know about propaganda.
A 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, right.
They don't know about agendas, that there's a progressive agenda in the schools and they've been brainwashed and they're intentionally being terrified by the teachers and administrators. That's a plan, because what they want, they have a long-term plan to remake the United States into a socialist nation. Right. And in order to give the government control, you have to make the people afraid. You have to make people agree that we are not handling our freedoms well and we're endangering the planet. Therefore, the government has to control our lives and tell us what to do. That is part of a sustained propaganda effort, which is working. But the teenagers don't know that. When you're brainwashed, you don't know you're brainwashed. When you're in a cult, you don't know you're in a cult.
Right. Because she's a professor of history, I kid you not, she cited examples in history where mothers or families have decided not to reproduce. But for one of the examples is the Mormon settlers, Utah in the 1850s. There was violence and disease, and in some cases, the women thought we'd be better off not multiplying. I mean, compare that to this geared up climate change thing where even if there is a threat, it could be quite a few years away.
There's no threat.
She mentioned slaves, too. Which is understandable. They were very concerned about having a baby born into a world of slavery.
For sure.
Which is completely understandable.
Yeah.
But climate, to compare these to the climate.
Because they're
psychos.
I wish I had some other words for this. But hysteria is hysteria. Extremism is extremism. They have incorporated the most extreme, absurd, ridiculous concepts. And in their minds, their fragile little minds, it's now true. It's real. And so every day they wake up unhappy and terrified.
And who do you think these people are? And I'm not talking about a 16-year-old, but if there's really a 30-year-old pondering this, it's probably somebody in a more well-off household.
Yes, almost entirely.
Because they have a lot of other problems to obsess over.
Working-class people are too busy working and too busy trying to get through the week. They don't have time to indulge in these weird little cult fantasies of end days and doomsday. It's a doomsday cult is what it is. World's going to end. World's going to end.
Yes, you're right. There's always been people who belong to those kinds of cults where it's always, and it's our fault, and we're in control of this, and we're ruining the planet, and oh my God.
These are like those naked, hairy guys who would stand holding a sandwich board on the corner. With
Jerry Brown, you mean?
Yeah, Jerry Brown type, right? And they've got a little boombox or a megaphone, right? And a microphone, and they start shouting end of days rhetoric as you're walking by, and they have a little hat where you could throw in $1 or $2 for the cause.
Yeah,
they're crazy.
I don't see them. You know, I see still more though is the religious ones that are reading all the Bible quotes as you walk by. They like to set themselves up in crowds and talk about how you need to end times are coming. You need to repent,
embrace Jesus, all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, the single most annoying people on the planet. They'll show up at some crowded gathering. Maybe it would be a farmer's market or a fair, a festival or something, right? And they just start shouting all their doomsday Jesus
nonsense. This guy had a whole megaphone set up. He had an entire microphone and everything set up.
There was a guy at the farmer's market in my neighborhood, and he's actually holding up a sign, a huge placard with little black print on it. And it was all about veganism. and it read like a religious document is what it did, and of course you know the irritating wieners on my side of town, they're all going up to him. I was like, oh yeah, tell me more about this. And I wish I could. I probably should have snapped a picture of the board and I could have read it. But it was exactly the way you would try to indoctrinate someone with a religion. It was exactly like those weird religious guys who show up and start shouting random cliches and.
The problem for you is that they crossed over. The people that are really concerned about the climate crossed over to the vegan people because it became meat eating is responsible for global warming. So they kind of crossed purposes there.
Oh, that reminds me. I gotta find this, but maybe we could do this tomorrow. Time Magazine had a piece written by two. Well, I know where I can find it. Hold on. I was sending this to friends of mine. They had this piece in Time Magazine written by two professors, The Case for Making Earth Day a Religious Holiday. I don't want to get into this now, but I want to read it on the air tomorrow. And they were inspired by Earth Day, and they think Earth Day should become a religious holiday. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, bingo, this is what we've been talking about for years. This is now turned into a religion. And they admit that they, you know, they would like to set up religious rituals on a day like Earth Day on that occasion, and we start indoctrinating children to understand all these concepts here. It's like, there you go. Now they've crossed the line and they're admitting to it.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're almost done, but, well, you can hear the whole show. It'll be posted up as a podcast, John and Ken on Demand, right after 4 o'clock at KFIAM640.com or the handy iHeartRadio app. That's where you can find our podcast daily, Monday through Friday. And follow that app, John, wherever it goes. All right?
All right. Follow it.
I enjoyed this story over the weekend because you got to figure something like this was going to happen. With all the heavy rains we got, the stories have been focused on, there's going to be flooding. Is the drought over? Is the drought not over? But this one's kind of entertaining. If you've ever heard of El Dorado County and a place called Placerville, there's about 10,000 people that live there. It's about a 15-minute drive from a valley where in 1848, John, a guy from New Jersey by the name of James Marshall was building a sawmill in January 1848 along the American River when he saw something shiny in the water. Looks like some kind of metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, he wrote. He actually spelled M-E-T-T-L-E. That looks like gold,
right.
Spelled G-O-A-L-D. I guess they found his diary.
Education really wasn't a thing back then.
No. Well, you can imagine what we're talking about was the big gold rush. This is 1848. It's sort of happening again. Now, what I didn't know back then is that a whole bunch of people came to this part of California. They sprayed powerful jets of water onto hillsides, and they sorted through whatever flowed down, leaving giant piles of mining residue. It says here, still visible today. It's now heavily restricted. You can't go there and spray massive jets of water on the hillsides to try to extract the valuable metals. However, they're saying that nature did it. That the heavy rains.
All the storms, yeah.
Yeah, rains washed a lot of stuff down, a lot of minerals that were embedded in the rock and the dirt. They called it nature's pressure washer. So, and they're mostly in the pictures in the New York Times, older white males with beards, lots of baseball caps. Now, they've descended on this area to start their own gold rush again to look for nuggets. There's one guy that claims he was able to buy a new pickup truck with what he found. I don't know if I believe that or...
Well, it's $2,000 an ounce right now.
It is. It's right. The price of gold is hovering around $2,000 an ounce.
So if he got... How much is a pickup truck? I don't know.
$25,000? I don't know.
It's probably... Yeah, well, anyway, if there's a big enough chunk...
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, a couple of pounds, that'll get you a nice truck.
One guy said he found 2 pounds of gold nuggets with a metal detector.
See, 2 pounds
Mark
is 32 ounces.
Regular said there's $50,000 of gold up at that table. We've had more gold in the last... Apparently, they have meetings. They gathered together to show what they found.
If there's several of them who have a couple of pounds worth of gold, then yeah, that would be enough to get a pickup truck.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because that'd be 32 ounces.
One other guy used to be a police officer and a firefighter. Oh, is that 2 pensions?
That's why he's got time.
Now makes a living as a treasure hunter. In just a few outings in April, he found $750 worth of gold pieces.
I could do this. This
probably
speaks
pretty quiet. It does speak to
it
you?
It does speak to me, yeah.
But isn't this like the guy on the beach with the...
That speaks to me, too.
Oh, that does speak to you?
Yeah.
With the big headphones on, he's walking along with his
the
metal
little
detector.
Geiger counter,
Not a
Geiger
sand,
counter.
Trying
metal,
to see if he can, yeah, metal detector to see if he can hear anything under the sand.
Little tick,
dig
tick,
up
tick,
and,
tick, yeah. I can do that. That's where I'm headed.
Yeah.
Well, because, it's a game, right? It's like a little kid. You have a treasure hunt. It's a game. There could be a valuable prize at the end of it. You walk in a beautiful setting, either the hills where the gold is or along the beach.
Yeah.
And what else are you going to do? Okay. You're 82 years old. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, it says here the gold seekers range from part-time hobbyists to diehard, well-equipped treasure hunters who make a living from it.
I think when you get really old, when you get to that age where nobody wants to give you a job, but you can still walk, right? You're not in a wheelchair.
Right.
There's no secrets. There's nothing to do. There really isn't.
So you're going to go on the beach, or you're going to go up to
if I can still get around
gold territory,
sure. Because what are you going to do all day? Nobody wants to hire you. Nobody wants to pay any money. Nobody really wants to talk to you. Most of the people you know are dead already. So what? I try to think, look at life realistically. You're at the end of the line.
Yeah, you always paint a good picture for exiting early.
I rarely see anybody who's having fun when they're in their 80s. Is doesn't look like a good time, no.
What'd you call them at that club one day, the people waiting to die room?
It was the people waiting to die card room. That's what they were doing.
The card room.
I think they'd go out.
Well, cards and games are fun. You can have a lot of good chats. And
well, they looked happy, but it still means there's nothing to do. When you're going there every day, at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's when I used to go play tennis there. It'd be 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's what I remember. You talked about that a few times. You come to work and you just sit them, you'd see them pass the room and they're in there staring and talking. And
yeah. I mean, it looked like they were having a good time, but that's not the point. Is that there was no option B, for no other plan for the day. And it was the same group the next day. And then the next day after that, every time I went, there was the same bunch of guys playing cards in the waiting to die room.
All right, well, I tell you what, we're still around. We're in our 80s and 90s. We'll take a bus up and look for gold together.
I would do that. Yeah.
Paying for gold.
That would be exciting. Conway's here.
Hey now. Magnitude 7.1 earthquake hits a remote Pacific area. No tsunami threat, but that's a big earthquake. 7.1.
Yeah, that is.
That's a big deal, John. Also, a Tucker Carlson is leaving Fox News.
Well, they fired him.
Yeah. So that opens another hour for you every day, huh?
Yeah. So I could push fake election conspiracies. Right. That's the thing. That's what that job entails. Those jobs entail that you just put out all kinds of crazy
poop
theories.
They all do.
Yeah, I know.
CNN does it. MSNBC does it. They all do it. They all push the fringe element. Then you get hooked into it. If you live alone, man, you have no one to bounce it off of. You're into it.
That's right. These are the people who don't go on the beach with their metal detector, right?
That's right.
They're at home watching Tucker Carlson.
In the chair watching cable news.
That's right.
See, those are the options. You could sit at home and watch crazy right-wing or crazy left-wing idiots and their stupid cable shows. But, see, I'd rather go with the metal detector and collect the gold.
I'd rather watch TV. I'm a big fan of TV.
I see that.
Yeah, because you don't have to get outside with the bees and the ants and all that crap.
I want to be outside. You want to be under a roof.
Right. Yeah, but you grew up on the East Coast, so you came out here to be outside.
Yes.
I grew up out here.
You're sick of the outside.
I'm tired of it. Don Lemon has moved on from CNN. That's another big story.
Yeah, another loser.
And then we have Bed Bath & Beyond finally closing. You got to get your gift certificates and cards and everything until you got to Wednesday. And then
is that right?
Everything goes in the toilet.
Oh, is that right? Wednesday?
Yeah.
That's the last day they'll
accept them? That's it. Bed Bath.
John sounds concerned.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife probably has 1,100 of them lying around.
Oh, the 20% off?
She was a big Bed Bath & Beyond person.
Yes.
She's distraught. She's in mourning.
Yeah, I get it. I love the Bed Bath & Beyond in Burbank.
You particularly liked the Beyond, didn't you?
You like going to big box stores.
I do.
I hear time to time. You're into Target and Costco and Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes, that's America.
One of the riffraff.
That's right.
I'm proud of it.
But yeah, the nickname was Bed Bugs & Beyond. And so I don't think that helped it.
No.
Can't hurt him now, I guess.
That's right.
Big dog.
But it's a great store. And the As Seen on TV aisle was always pretty cool.
I did go to that particular section. I was always fascinated by the As Seen on TV stuff.
Right. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I knew the checkout.
Yeah, that's right. As Seen on TV. And you're like, wow, if it was on TV, it must be great.
I'm going to buy my metal detector.
All right. Ding dong.
Here we go. Michael Crozier has the news.
Woo!
KFI.
Yeah. Ding dong.
In the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.